Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and welcome to episode 51 of Nintendo World Report's Connectivity. This week, we're kind of covering all the big Wii U news. There's a reaction segment is up first, and then after that, we actually have a bunch of hands-on impressions from the staff that were at the event. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, and welcome to the Wii U preview event post-connectivity press event thing, majig.
Nailed it.
So I'm Neil Ronahan. I attended the New York event, which was very cool. And I don't know if it'll be before or after this, but you'll hear me talk with the other three people that we have in the New York area who all went to it. We had a very good time. But now we're going to kind of go more over the press event in, from more of a back view. People who weren't actually there with me, like Scott Thompson.
You know, if you did that intro in theater rhythm, you would have gotten a bad. Not a miss, probably. But a bad.
Yeah, it's not a complete failure. It's
just, I mean, you like, said words, so that was a good thing.
So Scott, did you watch the press event?
I did. I was able to sneakily watch it at work without my boss knowing.
Zach, were you able to watch it? Zach Miller is here. Were you able to watch the press event?
No.
How did you hear the news?
Through Twitter and our site.
I was going to say, based on Twitter, I think Zach just made things up.
Oh, that's not nice. I hadn't read the site yet. I just read the press release and got pissed off.
And really, it's so hard to like gather information just from reading a bunch of articles on the site. It's so much easier when you watch the whole presser.
Yeah, I didn't do that tonight.
I cut you slack. You should. It's interesting. It's fun to watch all the videos, too.
But before I just go on a little rant, I'll introduce Patrick. And Patrick did not really get a chance to take it all in.
No. It was about 15 minutes of the show I got to watch, and it was right as they were getting into the Nintendo Land stuff, and it just kept going on, and I actually had to leave then. And I just caught up over Twitter.
Actually, if you followed the Japanese event, I think you already would have known about Bayonetta 2. Because that's what, during the Nintendo TV stuff... During the Nintendo TV stuff, I checked my phone for Twitter and found out about Bayonetta 2 and the Marvelous 101 and Monster Hunter and every reveal that they had. Yep. And was just like, oh, I think the rest of this is going to be kind of boring now. I guess the Monster Hunter thing, I didn't know it was coming to North America. I just heard about the Wii U version. But, we'll talk about that more in a little bit. I do kind of want to complain about how Nintendo keeps on spreading all this shit out. I was talking to not one, but several journalists who we all kind of express the same thing, how it's like, you know, what they have, it seems like it's pretty cool, but like, why do they have to spread it out so much? And we still have so many unanswered questions. Because if you think about it this time, with Wii U, E3 2011, it was unveiled. Then they went dark for a year. Then at E3 2012, they had not one, not two, but three separate Wii U focused events.
And the developer roundtable.
That was the third.
Oh, that counts.
The 3DS software showcase.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't
count. Yeah. And then they had that Nintendo Direct where they talked about Smash Brothers, which, you know, not fully about Wii U, but technically, And then they had this. And for this, they had not one, not two, not three, but four different fucking events. Like, really? Like, I understand that there's different things in different regions, but, like, in all honesty, like, from my vantage point, as someone who was at the event, like, I had to go back. Like, I still need to completely watch the Europe and Japan ones, because there's a lot of information in those that, like, the North American and even the Nintendo of America PR just won't comment on.
Yeah.
Like the stamps in Nintendo Land, which I thought like was this big get by us when I saw them when we were playing Nintendo Land at the event. Apparently, like in the Europe Nintendo Direct, they were just like, and there will be stamps, just like Wii Sports Resort. But when I asked people in Nintendo of America, they're like, oh, we can't talk about that right now. It's like, fuck PR, man.
Just show them like Twitter with everyone talking about it from Europe. Yeah. That's what you should have done.
I guess while we're on the subject of PR, I do have one kind of interesting story that I won't get too into, for there are some things that I guess I'm not supposed to talk about.
Inside baseball here.
We did a video interview with Call of Duty, or with some people from Treyarch, about Call of Duty Black Ops 2, which is kind of like spur of the moment. So it was kind of like I had to think on my feet. And right before we're about to start, publicist from Activision, I guess, you know, Call of Duty publicist, pulls me aside. He's just like, what are you going to ask? And I'm like, what? What are you going to ask? I need to know to make sure it's okay. So I rattled off some things like, you know, are there going to be headsets in the game? A lot of kind of more like specific things. This is going to be at launch, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, oh, you can't ask any of those things. We're not going to be able to comment on them. How about you just ask about the gamepad and how that works? I'm like, wow. All right. I guess it's okay with me if it's okay with you.
Why don't you just give me a list of questions I can ask?
Yeah, just have a pre-made script.
I'm going to give you my notepad. Just jot some things down. I hope Jared kind of cuts that interview, I guess, in a way that paints me in a nicer light. But if he just puts it up straight, there's going to be a point in the middle where I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck that is. Like, I just give the mic to a producer on the game, and he's like, I got to talk more about the gamepad.
That's crazy. A little peek behind the journalism curtain there.
I've never had that experience before, and it's like the kind of shit that people do in politics. It's fucking Call of Duty.
Weird.
I've heard of that before. I don't know if you guys have or any of our listeners, but absolutely. I've heard of that long arm of Call of Duty, how they're very protective about the brand, and I guess I understand why, but it's still absurd to me. Because they're fucking video games.
Mm-hmm. And, like, what's the harm in asking, like, if you're going to be able to use a headset of some kind, you know? Like, that shouldn't be that big of a spoiler.
Just so you know, it's not officially announced, but yes.
Neil, that publicist is going to come find you.
What, Call of Duty?
Yeah, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is going to have headsets. It's probably in the fucking fact sheet.
When I pre-ordered my Wii U today, I believe it was the GameStop guy, he told me that I could buy headsets for the Wii U.
Exactly. Yeah.
So why wouldn't they be used with that game?
It's not confirmed.
It's not confirmed, Patrick.
It'd be smart if Call of Duty was bundled with a
headset. PR is fucked. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, there are very nice people in PR. And anyone who listens to this that works in PR and I work with you, chances are I probably like you. Because if I don't like a person in PR, I kind of just try to not work with them. I mean, for the most part, like, everyone that I work with, even on an irregular basis, like, you know, they're good to work with. But it just the way the system works to me is kind of fucked.
Yeah.
But we are not really talking about Wii U at all at this point. That's what we should be talking about. So, first off, I would like to gloat for a bit because I totally pegged the price and release date. Wii U, November 18th in North America, $300, no pack-in.
Yeah.
And then there's also that second SKU that had $350 and comes with Nintendo Land.
Much clearly and better.
And a stand for the gamepad and the system, and a 32 gigabytes of flash memory instead of 8, and the deluxe digital promotion, which you get points for downloading games, which that's a $50 difference. Nintendo Land is being sold for $60.
Like, yeah, it's insane.
anyone who buys the basic version, like, what is wrong with you?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing that it goes back to the, like, when the 360 launched. Yeah. It's like, well, why would you buy the arcade when you need a hard drive?
You can't get the deluxe.
Yeah.
And a hard drive is $100.
The one thing that I think is really good, just people are kind of complaining about the flash memory, which I kind of understand, because if you think about how they want you to download games, like, how small are these games going to be? The fucking discs that they're on are 25 gigs. Yeah. Not that every game's going to fill that, but still. But you can hook up basically like any old external hard drive, up to, I think, 3 terabytes.
Will it play games off the hard drive, or do you have to like keep swapping data back and forth?
It might be the kind of thing where there might be some kind of like cache, which I kind of hope there would be, or else it doesn't really, like, it's a huge oversight. And, you know, Nintendo might do some things dumb, but I don't think they're that dumb.
Okay, because I just don't want to be like swapping data, like, save this to the hard drive, then copy this back onto the Wii.
Well, it could be like the kind of thing like what they do on the Wii with the SD card is basically you need to have like free memory on it so that way it can temporarily store whatever you're pulling from the SD card there. I would assume it would be something like that. Or it could be like the 3DS where it just runs from the SD card.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, let's hope so. Huh? Oh, no, that was my squeaky chair.
Okay.
So what do you guys think about the price?
$350 is a little more than I wanted to spend.
It's like the high limit that I thought. Like that's the highest possibly that they could go.
I thought Mike made a pretty good point. He's not here, but I'm going to say it for him. He said, boy, what's eating up all that cost? The non-HD, non-multi-touch screen on the gamepad?
Yeah. How expensive are iPads, by the way?
Oh, screw Apple, man.
I mean, I'm just making a comment. How expensive are they? $500 or $600, correct?
Expensive.
So, okay, yes, the gamepad is clearly inferior to an iPad.
Well, it's not that.
But even still, but iPads are $500, $600 fucking dollars.
Sure.
And the gamepad is not comparable, but the same kind of thing. So throw that in with a system, like, how the fuck does $350 not really make sense? Like,
I'll say this: I was prepared to spend up to $300 without a pack-in game. So $350 with Nintendo Land, and then their, like, you know, rewards program. I'll take it.
Yeah, it's I'll take it too. I just think it's like just over my comfort zone.
Right. It's just the point where you're like, oh, that seems a little high. It's not bad.
Definitely.
That's the point where I have to start putting money away. I can't just go over and buy it. I have to start actively putting money in an envelope.
Yeah, especially seeing how you probably want a whole bunch of launch games, I'm guessing, Zach.
Yeah.
Now I kind of want a lot of launch games, yeah.
There's
a lot of good launch games at launch.
I just want to ask general opinion from you guys. How do you feel about different SKUs like this, like with the PS3 and the 360? I think the PS3 wasn't as bad because, as far as I know, the only difference when the PS3 launched was just memory amount. The 360 really screwed you over, and this kind of seems in between. Like, the basic's not as bad, but that limited amount of memory is sort of glaring. But you can't just hook up a hard drive.
Well, I feel like the basic is there to make people buy the premium.
It does kind of incentivize the deluxe version. And also the basic, I feel, is like for people. I mean, maybe the basic was what they did to try to hit that little bit of a cheaper price to kind of give that, you know, that $299.99 price point, which I think sounds a lot better than $349.99.
Right. It always looks
good. Why not include a stand with the basic thing? I mean, that's not going to cost them any money.
Supposedly, I know in Japan, I think they're selling the stand separately, and they're still like $15 or something, the equivalent of that.
Well, wasn't it like a pack of three stands or something?
It might come with the gamepad and the system stand.
Okay.
Because that's what it is. And like the gamepad's going to have an AC adapter with it, which is kind of weird.
That is weird.
It makes sense, though. I mean, because you're going to have to charge it somehow. And I guess like maybe, like, if you could charge it through the system, that might be better, but...
Well, someone tweeted it, maybe Kohler tweeted that you can't, there's no USB charge, like, it has to be through AC, there's no way to charge it through the system. Yeah.
I guess on that note, you know what, if you are going to play this game, if you are going to play a game just on the gamepad, like, you're in bed, then that's pretty awesome.
If you know, can it's, do it, that.
It makes more sense to have it AC than USB, in all honesty.
I understand that.
You know what that's going to feel like? That's going to feel like playing the Game Gear in like 1990, that huge fucking brick, and you just plugged into the wall because battery's drained in 2 minutes. Plus, I will say, I think the AC adapter is a better choice because I don't know about you guys, but I play mostly PS3 and I've got that recharge cable to charge from the system, but it's like 2 feet long. So it's like I have to just go plug it in and play with a different controller.
I have two controllers on the PS3 and I don't really play two-player games, but yeah, that's what I do, is that I have one that's plugged in and then one that I have out, and then when that battery gets low, I switch.
Exactly. So I think it'll actually be kind of convenient to just plug it into the wall, like next to the couch, and then be able just to keep playing, you know, not be tethered to the system that's like 8 feet away from me.
I'm so fucking excited for this goddamn system.
If I can play if I can play a game on the gamepad at the kitchen table while I'm doing my, you know, 45 minutes of meds.
Yes, you will.
I can charge the thing at the the plug that's underneath the table. That's amazing.
There you go. Yeah, so I think it's a smart move.
Zach,
actually,
I just want to... I'm just going to glance at this launch list right now and just tell you some games.
There's a couch in the way. Is that going to matter?
Well, no, I'm just saying that you'll be able to play New Super Mario Bros. U on your gamepad. Be able to play... What else? Mass Effect 3 just on the gamepad, I believe?
I don't want that shit. But yes, cool.
Trying to think. I don't know. A lot of the stuff I'm just on the...
I can only assume that.
I don't know.
Oh.
They haven't said, but I would think it would.
I mean, maybe.
I think so.
Supposedly, the single-player mode in Rayman Legends is going to be playing as the Murphy, the guy on the gamepad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Really?
We heard some like conflicting things that might just be like weird embargoed shit. You can hear Ariel kind of, because he was the person who had the conversation with the, like, I guess the designer at Ubisoft about it, and then like the PR rep shot him a look and he shut up. So this might be either the first or second time that you'll hear it, but basically that you might unlock the ability to play as Rayman in single player by beating the game.
Wow.
Because they want to focus on the gamepad as the primary control scheme on the game, which makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't like that at all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of it, but it makes sense for why they would do that.
At E3, didn't we hear that you could play, like, the co-op mode, you could play either with one person as what, Murphy is his name?
Yeah.
And then one person is Rayman, or you could both play as, you know, like, Rayman and the other, you know, the blue guy or whatever. Wasn't that at E3? Didn't they say that?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, is that I've heard so many conflicting things. That's what I hate about all this bullshit secrecy about this system right now. Yeah. But I guess we have to deal with it for another 2 months.
We'll see, but I hope that's not the case. I hope you can just play regular.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the touchscreen stuff is cool, but... you know, especially single player. I mean, you really want to play a whole game where you're just doing that?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Rayman Legends looks awesome, but that might end up being the kind of game where I'm like, all right, I got to find a person to play with.
Right. Which, luckily, I've got that. I wouldn't really play
alone
anyway.
I could probably convince Lauren. Or just I'll be like, you know, call up my friend and just be like, hey, man, we got to play some Rayman Legends. It's like, I hate the floaty jumps. I'm like, I do too, but I want to play it.
My wife is in Fairbanks.
Zach, I'll come visit you.
I'll have to train Ozzy how to play it.
Can we film that? Can we have a show where it's like Zach and his corgi playing Rayman Legends together?
Yeah. So I guess let's go ahead and keep moving on with what happened in the conference.
Yeah.
In chronological order. So we got the two different SKUs.
Yeah. Then they started talking about Nintendo Land and New Super Mario Bros. U, both launch titles in every region.
New Super Mario Bros. U looks so good.
Yeah, I would actually have to say that the demo that they had at... I should shut up about this because it's kind of a repeat from the other one. The Boost Rush stuff kind of looks dumb, but that's just me.
Yeah, that doesn't interest me, but just like the core game and just the look of the game. I mean, it looks like they really experimented with level design.
Yeah, I love the world stuff.
The art style.
It looks like it's an actual, like, I mean, I really enjoyed New Super Mario Bros. 2, but that just kind of felt like more of the same in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very good and the level design was clever, but it didn't really do anything like wholly new, whereas it looks like this game might actually do some wholly new things to the series.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of content packed in there, because, I mean, you have, like, that world map, you have challenges, you have the Boost Rush mode, you have that coin battle stuff from New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
They brought that back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't see it, but they had a menu where they had
Mario Brothers DS battling.
Oh, no,
that's
what
I thought you meant for a second.
It's like the one where, like, you're playing a level and whoever has the most coins at the end wins.
Yeah. I don't really care about that as much.
It was fun.
It looks really
sweet. It is, but I like the DS battle.
Yeah. Everyone does.
That mode was great.
But
it's weird how Nintendo's developed this, like, sort of continuity for these new Super Mario Bros. Games where it's like, maybe they're trying to justify why the art design through, like, the first three games looks similar because you're just within the Mushroom Kingdom. Whereas this one, I don't know if you guys have seen that. It wasn't in the conference, but then they released a trailer afterwards. And, you know, like, Bowser picks up Mario and Luigi and everyone and, like, throws them, like, miles and miles and miles away.
Oh, really?
So it's like, yeah, so you're, like, in a new world. And then, like, Mario and Luigi look off and, like, the castle is, like, attacking Peach's castle. But it's, like, miles away. And, it's kind of weird. Like, that's, like... like they're developing this weird sort of world where it's like, well, that's why those games are all the same, because you're Mushroom Kingdom, so it's got to, like, you know, it's got to exist from game to game. It can't change that drastically. But now you're in a whole new world, so.
Wow. Well,
the world map definitely made me think about Super Mario World. This might have been said before.
A whole lot.
Just, like, on the world map itself, some of, like, the rocks, they were real, like, blocky and diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
that was, like, a theme that was in Super Mario World. There were a whole bunch of levels.
Right.
Set like that.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I guess the next big thing was, what was it?
So Nintendo Land, which I guess let's talk about that. And I'll just say that, like, guys, this is the shit.
I'm excited.
So fucking cool.
I'm really excited.
We were talking about before the show how at this point I've played 9 of the 12 attractions, and all except for one of them, Takamaru's Ninja Castle, is excellent. The three Pac-Man verse like ones, they're all wholly different and they're all excellent. There's, you know, Metroid Blast is a ton of fun, and that's more of a shooter. And really the gamepad controls for the ship are like, they're very tough, but it's one of the more complicated uses of the gamepad as far as just, like, as a singular device, but once you get it, it works. The Pikmin Adventure thing is incredible.
What is that? What do you do in that?
Okay, so in Pikmin Adventure, what it is the person with the gamepad basically controls, like, his me in an Olimar outfit, and he has some little Pikmin all in that kind of, like, that toy-like, whimsical art style that Nintendo Land has.
Right.
and you have a few little Pikmin, and you're using the gamepad, and you kind of have like this more like behind the back third person view of the environment, and you know, you can throw your Pikmin, you can use the whistle to call them there, and you can also call all the other players using Wii remotes on their side, who they play as Pikmin, like Miis and Pikmin outfits, and they can jump and attack, and that's the basics for the game. It's very, very easy to get into, very simple, and you're basically just going through these different levels, you know, breaking blocks, solving puzzles, and fighting enemies. But the one thing that makes it kind of like work so well is that a lot of blocks and enemies will drop nectar, which Pikmin fans will know that nectar makes your Pikmin level up. In this case, you need to get 3 pieces of nectar to gain a level, and when you get to level 5, you turn into a bud Pikmin, and when you get to level 10, you turn into a flower Pikmin.
Oh.
And quickly, as we were playing, you know, one person as Olimar and 4 people as Pikmin, we got into these really competitive, like, who could get to the highest level by the end of the level. Like, these just, like, brutal matches where, like, I mean, we were playing with Nintendo reps, too, and it got to the point where there was an area in one of the levels where, like, there's, like, an enemy that, like, will, like, kind of roll along the water and then attack you and stuff like that. But we were totally ignoring that and just picking up rocks on the side and throwing them at each other so we can knock them down and take the nectar. And then we'd be like, fuck you, I got your nectar, bitch. But it's just, oh, man, it's so much fun. And we went back to it 2 or 3 times throughout the time we were there at the event. And it really is, it's so good. And it does make the fact that we're not getting Pikmin 3 at launch a lot easier to take in.
Yeah. It's like Pikmin Lite, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for Nintendo Land. I think it's got a lot of promise. It has aged incredibly well since E3, where it was just like, what the hell is this?
And keep in mind that, I guess, the Metroid game, the Zelda game, and the Pikmin game, they all have some kind of single-player component.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we haven't really seen that. I think like the Zelda stuff might be a time trial. There is a versus mode in the Pikmin game too, but we didn't see that at all.
Yeah.
We saw it on the menu and we're like, hey, can we try that? And they're like, no.
Is there...
Maybe the versus mode is what you guys were doing and just stealing.
Yeah.
Is there a part in the Metroid game where Ridley pops up and your Mii just collapses to his knees?
Well, they do have a screen that shows Ridley in a level, so maybe that's what happens.
Now I'll play.
I hope Mother Brain's at the end of that. That would
That'd
like
cool,
like
yeah.
Oh yeah, that would be really sweet.
I would fill the cup if that happened.
So I'm gonna end up playing this game mostly multiplayer with my girlfriend. But for you, like especially Patrick and Zach, maybe even you, Neil, who are might play it single player. Does it interest you at all in a single player capacity, or is this mostly gonna be a party?
Yes.
Game?
Yes,
half of those games are single player games.
Okay,
I mean they're kind of more like arcadey high score stuff.
Yeah.
But like I really dug the Balloon Trip game. I really like that Donkey Kong game. And it seems like, you know, each mini game, it's not going to be like the size of a full game, but it's for the fact that there's like these 12 attractions there, and it seems like they're all going to be pretty fully featured. And then there's like, I think there's even mini games throughout the game. And then all like the shit you can get with the coins that you collect in Nintendo Land and your little theme park.
Yeah,
I could see playing this game a whole lot.
Okay.
I mean, I think the real test of like how good is it is come back to me like let's say next summer, and if I'm still like, oh man, Nintendo Land's so cool, I still play it every now and then it worked. If you know it's January or February and I'm totally done with it, then no, Nintendo Land failed.
Right.
You know, there's still that potential that could happen. I mean, I'm super high on the game. But there is a part of me that's like, maybe these don't have depth. I mean, because we haven't seen the full... We've seen hints of it, but we have not been privy to the full depth. And I don't think we will until we have the game in our hands.
Right.
And see, Sorry, Patrick, just real quick. I think it's sort of the stigma of like Wii Sports carrying over, where like that was just, for me, it was a complete party game. I know some people played it by themselves a little bit, but really you just played that with groups of people. And since they haven't shown any single player stuff really from Nintendo Land, like I'm having a hard time grasping like playing it alone. But from you two who have played it, it sounds like it's a worthwhile experience on its own.
Yeah, because Zach never played it at E3 because he's a douche.
Yep.
Yeah, Zach.
Maybe you wouldn't be so upset if you had fun.
That was my little my private rebellion.
And you missed out on the best.
I guess I missed it.
In all honesty, the more I think about it, even back to E3, where I was still kind of lukewarm on it, I'm like, what's the game that I remember? Luigi's Ghost Mansion game. Although it kind of it's when I play it with friends that the total excellence of multiplayer comes out. Because like that's the thing is like, I mean, like Josh Max, staff writer at the site, like I've known for a while. We went to the same high school. So like I've played video games with this guy before and we got very, very competitive. And Jared at this point, I've been working with him at NWR for like 4 years. We've gone to 4 E3s together. And so like I know these people and we're having these competitions and it's wonderful.
Your multiplayer experiences at this event were a lot better than the E3 experiences.
Oh, of course, because we were playing with, you know, people from NWR and Nintendo reps. So, you know, people that understood the games and wanted to win. Even some of the Mario Chase stuff that we had was awesome. Cause it would get super, super competitive. That's when you would see like the guy, I hope he listens to it. This guy from Nintendo who would make really goofy faces and the little game face thing that pops up. Cause in Mario Chase, I mentioned it in my impressions, but it's pretty much identical to the Chase Me demo from E3 2011. But the one thing that they added was that up on the TV, there's a little window that like just, you know, has the person's face all like Star Fox 64 3D multiplayer. Mm-hmm. And it uses a camera on the gamepad to show what the person that, you know, you're trying to catch is and what the look on his face is. And the guy from Nintendo just kept on making really goofy faces. And I'd see it every now and then. I'd be like, you fucker, I want to catch you. But let's move on to Lego City Undercover, which you seem to make it a big push on it. You know, if you pre-order it, you can get a Chase McCain Lego minifig.
Whoa. Yeah, how about that?
So get that right now, guys. this game looks really good. I still find it hard to believe that they're like, it might be out by the end of the year. Because that's kind of the assumption that I got from the fact that they kind of hyped it during the press conference.
Yeah.
If they're hyping up a pre-order bonus, I think it would make launch.
Well, I don't think it's going to be launch. It could be launch.
Launch month, I'd say.
Yeah, I could say December. Yeah. Like, December seems what this is, but still at E3, that demo was so buggy. Mm. And I know it's a demo. It could come together. It could be fine. It could run great. But it seems like a very ambitious game, and it's the kind of thing that I hope they don't rush.
Yeah.
That's
it looks neat. Do we know at all if there's any co-op in that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because I love the Lego games, but playing them cooperatively, as is the theme.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a single-player experience, but who knows?
Yeah.
Neil, did you ever play Lego Island?
No.
No.
Oh, my God, I love Lego Island.
Yeah, okay, Zach, you know what I'm talking about. That's what Lego City Stories reminds me of when I just look at it.
Me too, because it's an open-world Lego game.
Yeah, I know.
I hope there are some awesome skateboard races.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is or not. I mean, that's the thing, is that the game looks very good. I want to see a better demo of it because it looks like it could be very good, but really they had two demos at E3 that kind of had like a linear like Lego level. And I think the way that the game is structured is that basically like you have this GTA like overworld that you explore and do some stuff there, and then like you'll go underground, you'll go undercover, and then it'll be like a regular Lego level, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But they had like a linear level and then some overworld stuff. And both of those demos they weren't really that impressive.
Yeah.
I hope it comes together, but who knows? Now we're going to get to the big goofy thing, except for we're probably not going to spend 20 minutes on it. We're not going to spend a third of the presentation on Nintendo TV.
I don't understand what that is. I mean, I understand what it is, but will it work with my cable company?
Yes, probably.
Oh, okay. Because they talked about TiVo, which I don't have.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't know if they've had any exclusions. I mean, that'll probably come out in the ensuing weeks. But as far as what they have said so far is basically like, okay, so Zach, you have Netflix, right?
Yeah.
And you have cable.
Yeah.
So what you'll do is when you turn on your TV, you can, you know, boot up your Wii U, and then you'll have it seems like the TV is going to be like that Miiverse thing that I showed back at E3 that Kotaku reported on saying like, we got this scoop. And it's like, no, they showed that at E3 and said it was going to be the screen that you booted up to.
Yeah.
And it looks like what's going to be on the gamepad is kind of might be more like Wii channels just on the gamepad. And you might be able to scroll through that. Maybe even like the 3DS. I mean, we still don't really know what that's going to look like, but basically like, you know, there will be a Nintendo TV icon. You press that. and it boots it up. And when you go there, you know, you'll have, you know, all that. We have a whole walkthrough video that'll go up, and I'll kind of streamline it as much as possible. But so you have Netflix and cable. Let's say you wanted to watch Parks and Recreation, because everyone loves that
Dance
show, right?
Moms.
I'm surprised you didn't choose Community.
I would have choose Community, but Community is not on Netflix. So that ruins it.
That was so great, Zach. No. Do Dance Moms. Dance Moms.
Season two, baby.
Yeah. So this is my fantasy, after all.
So Parks and Recreation. Like, if you like just went to that, like, and they do have stuff where basically they'll pull from cable and I guess the way that they're wording it is that it'll be like from whatever you have, they will pull from that for the TV and the movies.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And even I think if you don't have it, it'll be like, if you want to watch this, you can get Hulu or buy it on Amazon Video.
Oh, okay.
Right.
But so, like, you could go to the little icon that says Parks and Rec, click on that, and it'll be like, watch on Netflix, or, like, you know, watch it live on TV, or gotcha. Even tell you when it will next be on TV.
Oh, that's
so, cool. Like, you could be like, I wonder when How I Met Your Mother starts. Go look up How I Met Your Mother on Nintendo TV, and it'll be like, it starts at the end of September.
Nice.
Okay, cool. And then they have different accounts on it. So, once again, using you as an example, Zach,
Hi.
You can have you, Gina, and your dog, Ozzy. You know, each have their own account. But, like, you could have, like, basically, like, it'll – people, like, you know, us being friends on Wii U, we would be able to recommend each other shows.
Oh, nice.
On, like, you know, Netflix or cable, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, Scott wants to try to push Doctor Who on us again.
He can recommend, like Scott,
you could legitimately recommend a specific episode, I think, to Zach, yep. or at least just the TV series to Zach, to be like, oh dude, you gotta watch this, and you can recommend it to him on Wii U, and then it'll show up on Zach's screen.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then like you can cool. basically kind of queue up, and then it'll, like, you know, use some sort of, you know, like predictory technology and be like, so if you like this, then you might like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there's sports scores and stuff too, but they haven't really confirmed. I asked them, like, all right, so the Packers eventually kicked the shit out of the Bears.
Packers just beat the Bears.
But at the time when I was talking to this guy, I was like, all right, so in theory, Packers are playing the Bears later tonight. I could just pop open Nintendo TV and it would have the scores. And he was like, he was very quick to be like, well, we're not really going to confirm what leagues we're working with, which is like the kind of thing. It's like, you got to work with the fucking NFL,
yeah, yeah,
but right. like there could be some holes in it. But it looks like at a minimum, I would assuming from what they showed, I think they had NCAA football, baseball, and or like Major League Baseball, and I think there might have been basketball. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think those were the three headings at the top.
Yeah,
it
was basketball, football, and college football.
I mean, it's like the kind of thing where I don't know if it's necessarily completely for us, but even as I was kind of just trying to explain it to you guys, I realized I'm like, wow, that's kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I'll tell you, on screenshots, did it show too that you, while watching things, you can use the gamepad to like...
Oh, yeah, there's to, that to,
like,
shit too.
To, like to search for, like, to like research things, but also like, was there like a little like Twitter icon too? Like you could
okay,
from
okay.
it?
I got some more stuff to say too. Like there is a lot to this. It's pretty well thought out. It basically like, I had a conversation with some guy from like corporate communications at Nintendo where I was like, so how pissed were you when Smart Glass was announced? And he's like, well, our stuff is, it's different. And, I think it'll hit the market better. And I'm like, you just want to be like, fuck Smart Glass, don't you? But so there's also this whole like the Miiverse social media component of it, where I think what they said was for the top 100 TV shows this fall, or I guess in November, they'll have something where they kind of have like a manually curated, like almost like conversational feed to it.
Oh.
So what they showed at I don't really watch Modern Family, so this is kind of fall on, like, I didn't really get it
the
when they were telling me about it.
The first two seasons are good.
But they were showing a specific episode of Modern Family where it's just like, you know, okay, you want to watch it live, you go here, and it's like, okay, it's 15 minutes in, but you can kind of like go back and see what moments had happened in the episode, and you can also comment on anything.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's like a worldwide commenting or just to your friends or something, but it is the kind of stuff.
They said both friends and
okay.
random community.
But it is the kind of stuff where, like, because these things are going to be all manually curated, it is the kind of stuff where they'll have like, did you like what that character did? Yes or no? And you can see what people say about it. And it really is that kind of thing, like bringing that Facebook, Twitter interaction to the system. And in all honesty, like, I don't have cable right now. I might have to get it for review purposes in November, unfortunately. but I mean, that's the kind of thing where, like, guys, how fucking cool would that be if the four of us are all watching an episode of Community and we can just talk to each other on our fucking gamepads?
That'd be cool.
And I know, you know what? We can already talk to each other on Twitter or something, but this is a lot more, like, direct interaction with the TV and it's all working together.
Pop, pop!
And what, like, if you could set up video chat while watching Community?
What?
We'll just go on Skype for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it definitely.
And I guess, I mean, maybe even in theory, I guess in theory you could do that because they did show off the video chat back at E3.
Yeah.
Well, one cool thing about Netflix on Xbox was that you could do, like, you know, like Party Watch where you watch.
Didn't they take that out?
Did they remove that?
I think they did.
Oh, geez, I don't mess with
the dashboard update. I think they did.
Well, that's stupid. Well, it's cool that you could, and I watched a few movies that way, and it was actually kind of fun. So, like, this is almost seems like an extension of that. I mean, if you can do voice chat too with people, that would be really awesome. Like, just with a group. But yeah, I know for me personally, when I watch like Blackhawks game, like I'm constantly on Twitter, like seeing what other like Blackhawks fans have to say and like just commenting. It's like, this is great if it can all just be built into that.
And
like,
even
if I can say stuff to you guys, but I can also access like Twitter and like tweet just from the you know, gamepad and stuff.
Even in the more ridiculous stuff, and a lot of this is I'm kind of just recalling like the walkthrough that I got from a guy from Nintendo, and Jared taped it all, so it should be up eventually. I recommend watching that if you want to know more. But even like they showed me stuff where it's just like, so it was a Halloween episode of Modern Family and they had a smoke machine.
I like that episode.
And like, you know, like you like, you know, press the little thing that's talking about the smoke machine and it'll fucking take you to a link. Like it'd be like, oh, look, you can buy a smoke machine
for
this much money.
Oh, that's funny.
And like you can go to Wikipedia or like they had something where it was like, you know, it's a Halloween party. So they had like something where like you can see the origins of Halloween. Go to Wikipedia. Go check it out. Oh. They had links to IMDb. You could see all the stuff about the people in the cast. And, like, that's the kind of shit. Like, you know, I'm watching TV shows, and I'm like, oh, what's that guy from? And, like, I'm going to my phone. I'm going to my computer or something to check that out. In this case, I could just bring up the fucking gamepad and go look it up. Like, that's that's incredible. And it is.
Is that
you
the
know
type
what?
Of stuff that Nintendo sets up themselves? Or is
supposedly,
that just community-based?
That is what Nintendo's setting up. And they're only doing it for the most 100-watch shows. I mean, I guess this is going to be the kind of thing is how far are they going to go?
It just seems like it would be a lot of work come, like, this fall season when all the new shows are it's new episodes every single week. That's going to be a lot of...
I'm curious to see how that's all going to pan out. But the idea of it is really cool. And what? It is almost exactly like Smart Glass. But the one thing that this does over Smart Glass is that, like, everyone who buys a system can do this.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the key difference. And that's the thing that, like, was the red flag that was immediately raised to me is that, like, I'm hearing Microsoft talk about Smart Glass at E3. And I'm just like, I don't have a tablet. I'm not going to buy a tablet to do this. If I had one, I guess that'd be cool.
I mean, it's the same issue with Xbox and PlayStation kind of playing catch up with motion control, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you had Move and Kinect, but it came separate. It wasn't bundled. People didn't. It wasn't adopted as easily as the Wii Remote, obviously. So, but it looks great. I'm really excited for this. Actually, like I know they spent an amazing amount of time on it, too much time on it, maybe, but I'm really really excited for it.
Yeah, and we just spent an amazing amount of time on it, a lot more than I thought we would. And like, really, like, it's the kind of thing where I don't know if it's gonna like revolutionize the way I watch things, but for me, I'm just like, oh, sweet, Netflix and Hulu in the same place.
Yeah.
Yep.
If they
at a minimum
give you access to your entire television guide, then I think that would be my go-to.
I think, I mean, we'll see how it actually shakes out because it seems like I mean the stuff that they showed. I don't know if you noticed, like the sports scores. I believe were from two NCAA football seasons ago, like Julio Jones, who was in his second year on the Falcons, was on whatever college he was. I just noticed that when we were looking at like the stats
funny.
And the football stuff. And like, I guess that Modern Family episode is from like a year ago or something.
Second season.
Yeah.
But I mean, if a lot of what they're saying actually comes true, I think this will be really cool. I don't know if it'll, you know, shake the world. But I think this is their like Nintendo Land and Nintendo TV are their attempt at like two different faucets of Wii Sports.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's very progressive for a company that we most of the time consider being kind of stuck in the past.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it. And plus Reggie likes Breaking Bad, so he's a winner in my book.
Or he said it. He was like barking Brad.
Oh well.
So then we went from there to some really awesome game announcements. We got Bayonetta 2, which is from Platinum Games.
So weird.
And it's being published by Nintendo. Although apparently how it's working out is that basically, you know, I think we all know at this point that Bayonetta 2 was being worked on, which makes me think that this game might be like a 2013 release pretty safely, because it was being worked on. There was a time where Bayonetta 2 was a game being developed for another publisher, most likely Sega. However, I believe the editor-in-chief at Game Informer made a comment about how, that's funny, we were pitched a Bayonetta 2 cover by a different publisher that wasn't either Sega or Nintendo.
Yeah.
So I think as the rumor goes, Bayonetta 2 was canceled by Sega in, April.
Isn't Sega only working on Sonic stuff now?
That was around the time, or I think shortly after they made that comment, or right before they made that comment about how, they're narrowing their focus. Because that was when I remember people talking about how Bayonetta 2 was fucked. That was confirmed to be worked on. And I think it was always being directed by the producers. So it's not like something where, Kamiya was working on it and it got canceled, and then he went to do P100 or Marvelous, the Wonderful 101. So Bayonetta 2 was basically canceled by Sega. They didn't want to do it. And then somewhere along the lines, Nintendo stepped in. And I would assume that probably came out of the fact that Platinum was working on the Wonderful 101, formerly Project P100.
Yep.
And if you guys remember, right before E3, there was that that photo that Sakurai put up on Twitter where he's visiting Platinum Games' office. And I have a feeling that it was around that time that's when the Bayonetta 2 talks were either concluding or beginning or in the middle of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that probably right around E3, that's when Bayonetta 2 was kind of being finalized as being a Nintendo published product. So one thing that people might know at E3 is that it's not just for us to cover stuff. It's for, companies to meet with each other.
Yeah.
So then Bayonetta 2 is being published by Nintendo, and the people that are, want Hideki Kamiya to die, one, go take a long walk off a short cliff. Two, if it weren't for Nintendo, this game would not exist.
This also means that Bayonetta is going to be in Smash Brothers.
I think that'd be pretty awesome. And in all honesty, once again, that Sakurai picture, and yes, maybe this is a little reading too much into it, conspiracy theory stuff, but the fact that Sakurai is obviously communicating with the guys at Platinum in some regard, I think we'll probably see a Bayonetta character in Smash Brothers.
That'd be cool. Weird, but cool.
So, yeah, and then Project P100, as I said, got a different name, The Wonderful 101.
I like that name.
Yeah, it's a cute little name. I mean, that game looks awesome still.
Cute little game.
Did they have a new demo of it?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
So is the 101st person, you think it's your me?
No, I think it's you.
Yeah. The character.
The letter U.
The trailer was real cheesy. It was calling it The Wonderful 100, and then at the very end it, ticked it to 101, and it was just oh yeah, we missed a person, you.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I was really hoping that you could play as your me in it as well.
The other big announcements, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate is coming to Wii U. It's a launch title on Wii U in Japan, and it is coming to both Europe and North America by the end of March next year, and it'll be a simultaneous 3DS and Wii U release, and the two games will talk to each other in some regard.
Yeah, I've got a question about this. I know that...
Also, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for Wii U will be online. The 3DS one is basically going to be the 3DS version that came out in Japan last year.
Yeah, that's my question. What's different about the Wii U version? Is it going to be a prettied up 3DS version?
It's an HD remake. Okay. Keep in mind that the 3DS version is a remake of the Wii version.
I know it is.
Okay. I will admit how asinine this is. However, still for me, I'm just glad to hear that Monster Hunter 3 is coming to 3DS in North America, because I stand by the fact that a portable Monster Hunter would be awesome.
So we'll play on a system that I actually play. Circle Pad Pro XL.
I have a feeling we'll have it by then, if not with that.
Yep.
So this is pretty well. I mean, this basically guarantees the Wii is going to sell like fucking crazy in Japan.
Yeah, I was listening to the 8-4 Play podcast about the Wii U stuff, and they're all very, very excited about Monster Hunter Tri. And also, Japan, if you get the deluxe version, you get into the beta for Dragon Quest X on Wii U.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Which is just basically if there is a Wii U on a shelf in Japan on December 9th, I will be shocked. Because they are throwing the Monster Hunter and the Dragon Quest Gauntlet on it. Nintendo is fucking serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be like if when Activision came out to show off Call of Duty, if they just announced, yeah, and it's exclusive to Wii U now.
Yeah. Like, you know, by the like way.
That, yeah, like that.
I can't even think of another big Activision franchise. Oh, yeah, only Transformers games on Wii U from here on out. Like,
yeah, it doesn't work quite the same.
The other cool reveal was that Epic Mickey 2 is coming to Wii U on launch, which is actually the same day as every other version. So I went from being like, man, if I got Epic Mickey 2, I'd get it on Wii, but I don't want to play my Wii then. And now I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm getting the Wii U version. Done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I bought Epic Mickey 1 at when it was super cheap at Best Buy, and I still haven't played it yet. But
it's probably worth playing a little bit. Like, in all honesty, I hope that the sequel cures a lot of the issues that I had with the first game. But it is a really interesting game.
Yeah.
And, like, the world that you're in is beautiful and really interesting, especially if you like Disney, which I do. Okay. So I was walking around that. I'm like, this is so awesome. And then I'm like, I wish this game was better. It's just not that fun to play.
Yeah.
Like, but then I'd be like, oh, look, there is, like a robotic Donald Duck. And then Activision CEO Eric Hirschberg came out on stage, confirmed what we already know. Skylanders Giants, Wii U. Transformers Prime, Wii U.
Based on 007 Legends. Based on the show, I imagine?
I would assume so. Cool.
Looked like it.
Good show.
Looked like it.
007 Legends, Wii U, which I guess that was a little bit of a surprise. Black Ops 2, Wii U, and Wipeout 3, Wii U. And I have to say, from the trailers that they showed, all this shit just looks like fucking Wii games.
Yeah, I was going to say, this was the ugliest sizzle reel I've ever seen in my life.
I guess Skylanders, I got to talk to people from Vicarious Visions who were developing that, which I would like to pause and say that I fucking called it. I had my Skylanders appointment. Zach, you were with me when I called this. We were at the Skylanders Giants thing, and I asked them, like, so with Endspace doing the 3DS version, what's Vicarious Visions doing? And they're like, oh, they're still working with the franchise. You know, they did that iOS game. And in my head, I'm just like, and they're doing the Wii U game. and I think I asked that directly to someone at Activision, like, oh, we can't talk about that. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
And you're like, that means yes.
Yes. It's like, if it wasn't true, you'd tell me no. So yeah, so Skylanders Giants, that looks good because that's taking from the 360 and the PS3 version.
Oh, good.
that's like that is a reason why that game will look good on the Wii U. Transformers Prime, that is a Wii and 3DS and maybe even DS exclusive, and it's coming to Wii U, so that's just a fucking Wii port. 007 Legends, I don't think really looks good on any system from what I've seen.
What is that?
Looks like a Wii port that's not coming to Wii. It's basically, it's the same guys who did GoldenEye. And they're doing another Bond first-person shooter game. And I think it pulls from like three or four different Bond Bond movies and eras.
I see.
I think. I haven't paid too much attention to it. I'll have to now, I guess.
It's going
to
be Turok Rage Wars with Bond.
And then Black Ops 2 looks really nice on Wii U. I got to play some of that. And I don't really play Call of Duty games. That is why Ariel wrote the preview, or the impressions that are up on the site. But I did play against him in it. And, I mean, it's fun. It looks nice. It's just like, hey, it feels like I'm playing a 360 game.
So when you played it, you used the Pro Controller?
Yeah, he was using the gamepad. And the gamepad, I mean, like, you can just play just on the gamepad. And I do really like that idea of having kind of one-on-one with the gamepad and the TV. I did make the asinine question about, like, so, can you have a person on the gamepad and then two people playing split screen on the TV, and they're like, we don't know. And I'm like, you should.
it's 2 months away. You should probably know this.
That's great. That's so great. Fuck, man. It's early in the morning. Come on. Well,
dude,
I don't know.
So Black Ops 2 fucking baked. It's hitting probably, launch man. In Europe, I think. Let me look at my notes. Yeah. It is a launch title in Europe. I think it's going to hit launch in North America. It's just not confirmed yet.
If they push it back too far, I don't think it'll sell at all because it'll be too past.
Yeah. I mean, really, if it just comes out alongside the system, it'll be 5 fucking days after the game came out. That's fine.
I don't know if it's confirmed, but I read a link on Twitter. Where did it link? I can't remember which site it linked to, but that it's actually going to come out alongside the other versions before the Wii U launches. It'll be out five days before Wii U launches.
I actually saw that for a couple games. Transformers Prime is also listed for November 13th, according to Activision. They sent a fact sheet out in the press kit that I was looking at. I'm like, well, that's weird. But, usually with launch games, If they're like, you know, the Nintendo stuff will be there on Sunday, but a lot of the other games will come out like the week before. That's just kind of how it goes. And because I don't know if you guys remember from 3DS or Vita or going back as far as Wii, PS3, and 360, you'll always be able to find games on shelves before the system's actually out.
Cool.
So yeah.
Let's talk about these launch games.
Yeah, so I have a feature up on the site that I spent a lot of time today working on. I have stuff for Europe and Japan, but it is not as in-depth because with the North America one, I was able to talk to a lot of PR reps and developers about these games yesterday. So I got to get a pretty informed and more accurate view than what we might have heard from press releases and fact sheets and the like, and has led to some people calling me out about it. TJ Spike. Although he did kind of point out that Mass Effect 3 was confirmed as a launch title. It's just that in the materials that I was looking at, it was just kind of launch window. But from Nintendo, we have Nintendo Land, New Super Mario Bros. U, and Sing Party will totally be there day one. Confirmed. Lock it down. I think that Ninja Gaiden 3 might make it. But they're not confirming that. That's a launch title in Japan. And maybe Lego City Undercover, but I doubt it. And then we got, from Ubisoft, we have confirmed for launch day, which I 100% confirmed, Zombie U, Assassin's Creed 3, Just Dance 4, Rabbids Land, and the newly christened ESPN Sports Connection. Also, Your Shape, Fitness Evolved 2013. So Ubisoft will have 6 games on launch day. Rayman Legends is a launch game in Europe, but we're not sure if it's a North American launch game. I did find out, well, from talking to people in the Zombie U booth, they're like, yeah, Rayman Legends and Zombie U are both going to be launch day games.
Oh.
And then I talked to people at the Rayman Legends station, and they said that, like, oh, it's holiday, we can't confirm. So there is that part of me that thinks, like, well, the other people in Ubisoft probably heard through the grapevine in the company that Rayman Legends is a launch game in North America. And the people on you know, the Rayman Legends side are coached to say holiday.
Yeah.
And then that Avengers game is not confirmed for launch yet.
Nobody wants that anyway.
It's coming to Kinect, I think, in the beginning of November. So we'll kind of be able to see what it is. Also coming out on day one confirmed, Scribblenauts Unlimited. Mm. Batman is not confirmed for launch yet. It's holiday 2012.
Yeah, that needed work.
Darksiders 2,
woo!
Confirmed for launch, despite the fact that Patrick wasn't able to pre-order it. That is totally coming on launch day.
Supposedly it's going to have some exclusive Wii U stuff.
I heard like 5 additional hours of content.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like that is, yeah. Like its own DLC package or something.
I was in a bubble yesterday, so I did not hear this. That's cool. Disney Epic Mickey 2, as we talked about, that's coming on launch day. NBA 2K13. Is the lone 2K sports title. Mass Effect 3 coming on launch day. FIFA is a launch game in Europe, but we're not sure if it's going to be a launch game in North America. In Japan, it is confirmed to be December. So I think that FIFA is either going to be launched or like a week or two after. Same with Madden. Talking to the Madden people, they are still working on it right now,
really?
Which is kind of worrying. But I don't know if that'll make launch, but I think that has to be out by the end of 2012. Or else,
yeah.
It's like, why?
Well, yeah.
Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed is going to be a launch game.
Isn't that game cool? Actually, that game is cool.
I hope that it's cool. The frame rate on the demo yesterday was abysmal.
Oh.
But, I mean, I really hope that game's good. I enjoy that. I enjoyed the first one a whole lot, and I hope that the second one is good.
Yeah, we played the shit out of the first one when you were here.
Yep. Yeah. Transformers Prime, that is coming out on launch. So is Tekken Tag Tournament 2 Wii U Edition, which looks a lot better than you might think, because they have all this added Nintendo stuff where, mm-hmm. like, there's a mushroom battle and there's all these awesome costumes where, like, you can have whatever bullshit Tekken character in a Mario outfit with a big nose and everything. There's also, like, Bowser outfits, Link outfits. I think a Yoshi outfit I might have seen.
But it's Tekken.
Zelda, Ganondorf. It might be Tekken, but Josh and I had a hell of a time playing against each other in mushroom mode.
Okay.
I mean, that game's honestly on my radar right now, from a legitimate view. And the last game that I have confirmed for launch is Tank Tank Tank.
Tank Tank Tank. Should be
and
an
there's
eShop
some maybes.
Game.
I talked about most of the maybes. Skylanders will be out before the end of 2012. It won't make launch, though, as far as I know. 007 Legends should be out before the end of the year. Warriors Orochi 3 Hyper, which is like a Samurai Warriors game or something. That's a holiday 2012 game. It's a Japanese launch title. Game Party Champions will probably be out at launch. And then we have the eShop stuff, which hasn't really been locked down for North America, despite the fact that Shrine 2, Nano Assault Neo, and Tokitori 2 are all confirmed to be European launch titles. And then I guess the one curious thing, as we're kind of near the end, is that... So I think the launch window for both North America and Europe is that whole, like, November 18th to the end of March 2013, which is patently ridiculous. Mm-hmm. However... There are three games that are included that kind of confuse me. Because Pikmin 3, Wii Fit U, and The Wonderful 101 are all listed as launch window for North America, which would mean that they're out before March 31st, 2013. In Japan, I believe The Wonderful 101 is listed as to be announced. Wii Fit U and Pikmin 3 are both spring 2013 releases. And in Europe, they're not on any launch window release list.
Oh, really?
So either Nintendo of America is a bunch of dicks, or we might get those games before Europe and Japan.
That'd be cool.
And also, I heard some rumors that Paper Mario 3DS might be delayed in Europe.
Ooh.
Justice, guys, we're back. North America, superior country.
Now.
We're getting the Wii U first.
Yeah, that is weird. That is really weird.
Guys, Revenge Tour. No, it's not weird, because we got the Wii first as well.
Oh, did we? I thought that was a worldwide simultaneous launch.
Nope. It came out in, I think like Europe and Japan's roles were like flip-flopped. Because I know Japan was like December 2nd. I think Europe might have been like the week after, or maybe like right around that same time.
Right on.
But so what do you guys want to get at launch?
Probably Mario.
Well, I went and pre-ordered the system yesterday, the deluxe, obviously. And then I pre-ordered Mario as well, just because I know that's when everyone's going to get. So I just wanted to make sure. I definitely have interest in Zombie U. Rayman, if it is at launch, is what I'm going to have to get. And then looking at the list that you just read from... There's a few that are like, maybe my birthday is right around that time, so I'll probably ask for more games just because I'll be excited to just to play anything on the system. I don't know. Looking at like maybe Rabbids Land. I've never played Assassin's Creed and I don't have much interest in it. I don't know. It, probably Epic Mickey, I guess, out of the what I haven't gotten already would be like just there off my list.
I think for me, just looking at the list, I mean, Nintendo Land and New Super Mario Brothers U, without a doubt.
Yeah.
If I'm rocking the review party or the review copy, I would totally play some Sing Party. I mean, I'll probably, the fact that no one gives a fuck, I'll probably be reviewing Sing Party
just
no matter what.
Just for the listeners out there, if you haven't watched Neil on YouTube singing, is it LMFAO, I think?
Yeah, I don't even know what the song is.
Yeah.
It was the kind of, I think there is a point where, I mean, I've heard that song before. No shit. I have ears. I listen. But I didn't know any of the lyrics. So I'm like looking at this. I'm like, that's what they say?
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, so Nintendo Land and Super Mario Bros. U are totally definites. Zombie U, definitely. From everything I've played, that looks like it's like, you know, looking at that list, it's the only thing that's not a fucking port. That's not from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 3 is still kind of a firm maybe, and the good thing about that is that I'll have like a month to figure out if I would get that, because it comes out on 360 and PS3 at the end of October. Rabbids Land, I'm slightly interested in. That is not a game I would spend $60 on. That is probably a game that I'll be like, oh, I heard it's good, and then I'll wait for it to get cheap.
Yeah.
Scribblenauts, I'm a little curious in. But I'm like that with every Scribblenauts release, and then I'll probably hear more about it, maybe play it one time, and be like, okay, yeah, I'm glad I didn't get it. Epic Mickey 2, definitely. Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, if they fixed the frame rate, definitely. And Tekken Tag Tournament 2 definitely came onto my radar. And I think if Black Ops 2 comes out at launch, I might end up picking that up too.
Wow.
Look at you.
Yeah. I mean, I will be reviewing the system, so I'll probably be like, I fucking played all these things, but I'm so goddamn tired. I haven't seen the sun in 4 days. yeah, I mean, if I weren't getting the review unit, I would be buying a shit ton of games. I can tell you that much. It'd probably be at least five.
I want your job, whatever the hell job you've got. I want your job.
I don't have the money for it, Zach. I'm just saying that's what I would want to get and try to argue with myself about.
Start charging Lauren for sex.
Yeah, that'll work.
That wouldn't work.
But the tweet that you said that, see her response to that. So, Patrick, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say I made my pre-order today, and I just pre-ordered New Super Mario Brothers, Assassin's Creed, Rayman Legends, and Batman. But I'm not sure if you guys, or I guess Scott, you're probably the only one that pre-ordered so far. Maybe Zach did.
Alaska's a pretty safe bet. I can just sit outside Fred Meyer like I did for the Wii and maybe be first in line at 8 o'clock at night, and I think I'll be okay.
Well, Scott, I pre-ordered the Pro Controller. I'm not sure how they're going to be on stock day one, I don't know if you want to do that.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't even really... Well,
yeah, they accepted pre-orders on it, so I don't know if you want to go do that.
I probably should. What did I have listed? There might not be anything in that first bunch of games I'm getting that I'm going to want it, but if you guys remember when the Wii came out, not only was it impossible to get the console, but it was really hard to find extra controllers.
It was.
For the first week or two, so that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I did it just to be safe.
Did you get the spiel that some other people have been getting, you know, that like they're going to limit pre-order soon or can't completely stop
before
pre-orders?
Before I left, I asked them how they were like doing on pre-orders and if they're going to cut them off, and they said yes, definitely, because they've just been selling out really, really quick.
I mean, the thing is, I think maybe right before we started recording this, there was some story that someone on the site linked us to, I think Aaron, that it comes from the fact that like GameStop doesn't want to have more pre-orders than they will have copies of the system.
They don't want to be complete dicks. Which makes sense.
It's not GameStop being like, well, fuck you, it's only been around for a day, so we're going to cut you off. It's like, guys, we're not going to be able to get you a system at launch. We're not going to take any more pre-orders, which, in all honesty, that's good.
Yeah,
because you know what they could do is they could take every fucking pre-order that came their way
before and say, oh, sorry, you're too far down the list.
Yep.
Like they did.
Maybe what they're going to do is wait until closer to launch when Nintendo actually gives them a firm number of how many units they're going to be shipped, and then they're going to be like, pre-orders are open again.
I'm pretty sure that GameStops usually get the short end of the shrift when it comes to like pre-order numbers of systems and stuff. I did a lot of research back in the Wii and 360 days, and I remember like Best Buys and Targets and shit by me would be getting like 80 systems. And then I'd hear about GameStop's getting like 15 to 20.
Well, if they don't give me my system, I will rage.
I want to see your rage. That, yeah. So no offense. I hope they fuck you over. And then I will be there like you'll email me and be like, I didn't get my fucking system, and I'll just show up at your house being like, all right, dude, I want to see this. Let's go. I brought Jared. He's got his camera.
I'll just change one of the main images on the top of the site to like a big anti GameStop picture.
Yes.
You picture you looking pissed off, flipping the finger, being like, fuck you.
Exactly.
I think the only thing I'm interested in besides Mario is Darksiders. If I can hold.
Are you going to hold off or no?
On the system? Or Darksiders?
On the game. Yeah, on Darksiders too.
Well, I've heard that the PS3 version is buggy as shit, and it was just given its first patch, but that really makes me nervous about getting it. So I might just, especially if the Wii U version has extra content, I really don't mind waiting. I mean, it's not like I don't have a backlog right now, you know. That's like 2 months away. I mean, I can friggin' wait for that.
Yeah.
And if I get a review copy for it, I'll just play that.
Well, maybe. I don't really have any interest in Darksiders 2.
Have you played? You watched me play the first one. You didn't like it.
Well, I mean, I've tried playing the first one twice, and I just never could get into it. I don't like the focus on combat.
Yeah, that's true. It's very it's like God of War meets Zelda.
Yeah, it is.
With better art direction than either one.
I mean, think God of War, yes. And Skyward Sword, Skyward Sword. And Wind Waker, dude. Fuck Darksiders. Wind Waker, okay, man.
You're right. Wind Waker's better in all of it, but I was talking specifically about like Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword.
Ah, no, I hate Twilight Princess's art direction. That fucking freak baby.
Oh, man.
Like, that always bothered me.
Or the bug girl.
Yeah, that was creepy.
What's up with her? Screw Twilight Princess. That's the point.
That's the takeaway from this whole conversation.
Yeah. It's taken an hour to lead up to the thesis, which is Twilight Princess can suck a bag of dicks.
Yeah, I think that just about does it for this.
Not many more places to go after that.
any final thoughts? Any? Well, I guess. Nah, fuck it. We'll talk about the online and our worries on another episode. We're already at an hour.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear us get into the little bit of the more negative stuff, not referring to this conference, we will probably talk about online stuff in a week or two or something. I don't know.
Maybe we'll have that news by then.
Yeah, maybe we will have. I mean, we're going to learn a lot of stuff between now and launch. We didn't really talk about the site's interview with Mark Franklin, Nintendo's PR director. Could be fun.
Was it just him telling you what you could and couldn't
ask? No. See, they're nicer about that. Like, well, in all honesty, like, because, I mean, we had everyone that was there, all four of us were there for the interview. And I mean, I've met Mark a couple times. I've interviewed him. This is my third time interviewing him, past two E3s and now. He's a very nice man. But Ariel made the comment about how, like, it was really artful when we were, like, you know, officially doing the interview and recording the audio, how he was dancing around everything I said, you know, giving, because, I mean, there might be stuff he knows, there might be stuff he doesn't know, but there's stuff, you know, he's not allowed to say yet.
Yeah.
And he's very artful at doing that. And this is a guy, like, he was, I think, head of PR at Konami for a long time, too. Like, he's been in the industry for a long time. This isn't his first rodeo. But it's the kind of thing where, like, he's just so nice about it that, like, I don't even really get frustrated during the interview. And then I'll listen to it later and I'll be like, God damn it. He didn't tell us anything.
That's like 9/10 of the job, I think.
Yeah. We did find out some stuff, you know, the Wii mode, the Virtual Console and WiiWare likely not playable on the gamepad. I'm still kind of waiting for official, like, 100% confirmation on that. Because when Andy was transcribing it, he said that it seemed like it was a little up in the air. I still haven't heard back. But, I mean, it looks like the Wii to Wii U transfer will be exactly like 3DS to 3DS XL.
Nice.
Where, like, you just need to hook them both up to the internet. It'll transfer licenses, and you just take your SD card out of your Wii and put it in your Wii U.
Won't that be a pain doing that? Because on the 3DSs, you had to, like, be clicking prompts on both systems. Does that mean I'm going to have to sit there with my TV and just
I would kind of assume that...
Use two TVs, Patrick.
Well, I don't think they can be that dumb. It'll probably be where, like...
The gamepad. It's got a fucking screen in
it.
Oh,
actually,
TV.
You know what? Yeah, you're right.
You guys like, missed the whole, like, impetus of the system. You'll have to grab two TVs, I guess.
That was when they came up with the gamepad. They thought, we gotta make a way for this
transfer
to be easier, but people...
From the Wii.
Most people don't have two TVs.
Guys, we could add accounts, or we could just make a whole controller based around this concept.
With a screen in the middle. Brilliant.
I mean, the Virtual Console stuff, like, not a playable on gamepad, like, people are crying bloody murder about it.
I'm just disappointed.
But to me, like, it sucks, but, like, I understand why. I mean, you gotta look at the precedent that they've set for any other backwards compatibility, and it's functional, and it's there, but it's the bare minimum. They're not focusing on it.
Yeah,
it'll come later.
Like, it could come later. Yeah.
It
in all honesty,
like,
and I think that's the thing.
Instead of beam Wii U graphics to a gamepad, I feel like you could beam Mario 3 to a gamepad.
Yeah, but then you'd have to kind of, like, I guess you'd have to, like, redo it. Which, you know, people are going to be like, oh, they're lazy. It's like, but what's the impetus for doing that? I mean, other than goodwill, and that's, like, you know, that's legit development time. I hope it's the kind of thing that, you know, like, next summer, they'll be like, guess what, guys? We added in the functionality that you can play all your Virtual Console games on the Wii U gamepad. But, I mean, I guess for launch, I'm not too bummed out about it. I would rather have the games playable on the Wii U than not have them there and wait for the gamepad support.
Yeah. I should know this, but does the gamepad have a headphone jack?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Good. Making sure.
My headphones don't plug into my 3DS, which bugs the hell out of me.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Gamepad also has a stylus, and I didn't know that for the first half of E3.
It's a nice, it's like the 3DS XL stylus.
It really is, which, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
The more I hold the gamepad, it's just, it's got a really nice weight to it. It's not too heavy. It feels very, very nice. I'm looking forward to
it. I'm thinking Theater Rhythm HD, where you watch the game on your TV and you tap on the gamepad. Huh?
Could be good.
Dragon Quest sequel.
Yeah.
All right, we should wrap up. Okay. You guys are just getting delusional now.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So Wii U coming out November 18th in North America, coming out November 30th in Europe, and coming out December 8th in Japan. So join me in the chorus saying, fuck you, Japan.
Hey, they make Godzilla
movies. Not really. They make Godzilla movies. They're responsible for Nintendo.
They make the Wii U.
Yeah, they made the Wii U, but for some reason they're getting it last. Probably because they're like
Monster Hunter and Dragon Quest.
Probably because they're just like, all right, we got Monster Hunter and Dragon Quest, and if we release this here first, and these people find out that there are versions of the system in other areas, they're gonna flip. So we gotta release it here last. Yeah.
All right.
That's a wrap. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Podcast Thingamajigger. I'm your host Neil Ronahan, and with me are the rest of the New York crew who attended the event. We've got Ariel Ruff.
What's up?
Josh Max.
We're a crew now.
Yeah, we are a crew. And Jared Rosenberg.
Good day.
Yeah, so the four of us all got to see that fun little press conference, sit in the back row and, you know, look at Reggie's face as videos played and stuff like that. And then we got to play a whole bunch of games. So we're not going to dive too much into the whole what we think about the price and the system. I think it's pretty much across the board. We all think it's pretty rad.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But we're just going to talk about the stuff that only we can really talk about, at least on NWR, being as we got to play all these games today. So let's start off with the big one, which would be the new stuff in Nintendo Land. This is probably what we played the most, and what we played was Pikmin Adventure, Metroid Blast, Mario Chase, and Balloon Trip Breeze.
Hold on, Neil. I just want to stop you for a second. We didn't probably play this the most. We definitely
played that. Yeah,
there's not a doubt in my mind. We played this at least five times more than any other game.
Yeah. I'm still playing it in my head.
Yes. So I guess let's start at the top, which is the first one that I know Ariel, Josh, and I played was Pikmin Adventure, which is this really cool, like, action-based game in Nintendo Land, and it's got this kind of four swords level of, you know, competitiveness and cooperation, because you're teaming up with the person on the gamepad is basically playing an Olimar character with some tiny little Pikmin that he can throw around, and then the other people are playing as, like, a me-sized Pikmin, and they can go around and hit stuff. But it just has this really, really wonderful, like, okay, we got to work together, but fuck you, I need the nectar. Because you gain levels.
If
you
goddamn nectar.
And, dude, you gotta get levels. You know, dude, level 70 or bust.
Oh, nectar, sweet. Nectar destroys friendships.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to say it.
We had, near the end of it, we got very competitive with a couple of Nintendo reps. there were some obscenities thrown and just like, give me the damn nectar. And like, we got to a point where like, they're like, we're fighting a boss and we're throwing bombs and rocks at each other to try to like knock us down and take our nectar. It's so much fun. And I mean, the funny thing about this is that we probably collectively played the demo like 6 or 7 times, and there's only 2 different levels. So if you think about that, we played this game a lot.
Well, 2 that we were
lot.
Allowed to play.
Yeah, yeah. There's more. I believe it looked like there was something like 6 or 7 at least there. And there's also a versus mode that they weren't showing.
I want it.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, what's there to say aside from it has the Mario Party feel of fuck you, I'm entitled to something that I'm not entitled to. But it was in the shape of Pikmin, which are adorable, which makes it even better.
Yeah. So we are not getting Pikmin 3 at launch, but we are getting this game, and it might not be a full replacement, but yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's a lot of fun. I'm not sure how good it'll be solo, but it's definitely going to be fun.
Yeah.
If you can even bring one friend along, it could be fun.
I think that's probably the unfortunate thing about Nintendo Land is that how fun will it be by yourself? But definitely in a group, Nintendo Land is going to be tops.
Very fun.
Yeah.
So then let's move on to the next game that we played. And let's talk about Metroid Blast, which originally showed up at E3 2011 as the demo called Battle Me. And in this one, there were 2 modes that they were showing off, co-op and a competitive. The co-op had, one person in the ship, and then anywhere from 1 to 4 people as the, the Samus character is using the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck in a third-person shooter style. And you'd be basically playing a horde mode where different waves of enemies would be coming, and then you'd be shooting them down together. And this was a lot of fun because there was, you could screw each other over and you had to work together. And the one thing that I noticed that was fun is that, or I guess kind of cool, is that when you're in the ship, if you get shot down, your character just kind of drops to the ground and you need to run around and find a heart. And I'm not sure what happens if you get hit when you're there, because that didn't happen to me, but
I think you're just a ghost. I don't think you can get hit.
All right. It was kind of funny though, because I dropped near the end of one of the rounds. I got the last shot on me and the ship fell down, and I'm just running around like mad, like, oh no, there's an explosion. Oh, I gotta get the heart. Oh crap, someone blew up the heart. I can't even get it. But that was really fun. And then there's the competitive mode where it's someone as the ship, and then they're facing off against anywhere from 1 to 4 people as the characters.
I like how we went into there thinking, because the person who's the ship has at least, has at least twice as much health as the collective of everyone else. Or no, they have the same.
They have equal health. I mean, you can tweak it to, I guess, kind of up the handicap.
Yeah, however you want.
Yeah.
But we all went into there thinking, oh man, like the ship's going to win. They have a ship and we're all just on foot shooting arm cannons. But in case you can't tell from the tone of my voice, that's not what happens at all.
Not the case.
Yeah,
not the case.
Well, I think there's a reason for that, is that much like, when you first played Wii Sports or something like that, or even maybe a more in-depth Wii game, like, you kind of sucked at it at first. Mm-hmm. I mean, even look at something like Guitar Hero, where it's this complicated new controller that you've never used before. And I think probably all of us who have played Guitar Hero, like, when we first played it, we were probably pretty terrible, and then we got better.
Well, speak for yourself.
And that's the thing that I noticed with the gamepad, is that for a lot of these Nintendo Land games, you're doing very simple motions. Or you're basically like, controlling it like you would a normal controller. Like in the Pikmin game, for example, you're basically just like using the analog stick to move around and you hit some buttons to do some actions. Whereas in the Metroid game, controlling the ship, it's like you have one analog stick will move you up and down. The other one will kind of like, move you more in a lateral movement. And then you have to tilt the ship to aim. And then like you have missiles, you can zoom in. And it's very complicated compared to other Nintendo Land games. And I also had that same sensation with Zombie U, where just kind of getting used to that controller is part of the early struggle in that game. And I mean, I think it, once you get used to it, it gets a lot better. And I found that, you know, after the fourth or fifth time I was playing the gamepad in Metroid Blast, I got a handle on it. It was still tough, but I understood it more, and I felt like I was able to do more things with it.
Yeah. It's the controls were definitely weird because you're controlling three different things. You know, yeah. You're strafing, you're going up and down, and then you have to aim all around. So, I mean, that's something that does take quite a bit of time to get used to.
Yep, definitely. So any other thoughts on Metroid Blast?
Music's really good.
Yeah, the music across the board in the Nintendo Land stuff, it's all from the original games, but kind of like reorchestrated and remixed. The Balloon Trip one is especially good because the music in Balloon Trip is so great.
Yep. I like how they had one station that had giant-ass headphones. You just plug those in, yeah. And even though we were in the showroom, it was just... You can hear nothing but the sweet sounds of the Balloon Trip.
Yeah, Balloon Trip Breeze, that's one that was on display there, too. That one's a lot simpler. It's a single-player-only game, but it's kind of like a high-score game, and I guess that'll be integrated with Miiverse is kind of the assumption and what they've hinted at. But all you're doing is you have, on the gamepad, you have like a zoomed-in view of your character, and you're just doing very... You know, doing motions to kind of blow breeze at your character to make him move around. And you can also, like, interact with some items on the touchscreen as all, like, you know, pop balloons and stuff like that. And then you for that game, you're primarily looking at the TV. Like, you don't really want to look at the gamepad too much. Except for, I guess, like, fine-tuning stuff and tapping on things. But, I mean, it was really fun.
Yes.
No, there's not. I mean, there's really not too much to say about that game except for, you know, it's kind of Lost Winds-esque. It really translates. Like, if you see a video of that game, you're gonna be like, okay, so that's what it's like. It's not really too complicated.
It's a solid solo player game it's a solid solo player game in Nintendo Land.
Yep,
which is good because you know.
Yeah, it looks like about half of the games are gonna be solo events.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you're gonna be in your house and you're gonna be snowed in, and you know, nobody's gonna be able to come over and play Pikmin Adventure with you. So, you know, what are you gonna do? You're gonna play Metroid Blast.
This is a balloon trip night.
Exactly. get yourself a warm cup of cocoa. Put that big old, you know, that quilt your mother made you. Wrap it around yourself. Kitten in your stomach. That'd be bad. In your lap,
kidding,
and just balloon trip. That, you know, you got
just go on a balloon trip. Huff that cat and go on a balloon trip.
Exactly.
So that brings me to my next point. That's Mario Chase, which is the final Nintendo Land game. Which is really there's not much change from it from Chase Me at E3 2011. The one thing that they did add that I thought was kind of cute was the person using the gamepad in that game, like a that the camera is used to display their face. And I guess, like, once you're aware of that more, I didn't really get a chance of that. You could totally just taunt everyone on the screen, and that just sounds wonderful to me. Where it's just like, oh, is green going to yellow? You could just be like, nope.
But
it's
like,
it's a great communication game. You know, it really does make you talk to your friends while you're playing.
It really sells the asynchronous nature of the system. And I mean, so does Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing Sweet Day.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I remember when we played the Animal Crossing Sweet Day, we didn't really talk, but then again, you didn't really need to all the time.
Yeah.
But with Mario Chase, it was like, if you didn't talk, you lost. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, no man is an island here. We're all Pangea.
Yeah, because I guess the difference between Sweet Day and Chase Me is that the goal of the kind of omnipresent characters in Sweet Day is to touch everybody, or you know catch three people, whereas the goal in Mario Chase is for that omnipresent character to avoid everyone, which I mean it's a very subtle difference, but it really changes the game for both,
unless he gets the star.
Yeah, and then it's, you know, it's hunting season.
Yes, it is.
But I look forward to playing that game a lot, and I feel like that's the kind of thing that, you know, you throw a couple different levels in there, and that could be a lot of fun, because then you kind of learn the levels more, and you find good hiding spots. I was very tempted when I was using the gamepad to just like find a corner and hide there and see if anyone would try to notice me.
Fun fact, they don't.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Nintendo Land. Do you guys have any kind of overarching thoughts on Nintendo Land before we move on to other games?
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's very much, it is my most anticipated Wii U game at this point. It just looks so much fun, and I can't wait to play the multiplayer with friends, and I can't wait to dive into, I guess, just some of the more in-depth content in that game. Because, it doesn't look like it's going to be, you know, completely packed with depth or anything, and I'm going to be playing the single-player content for the next 4 years. Like, that ain't going to happen. But it seems like all the modes, like, you know, I think I heard somewhere that Zelda Battle Quest is going to have something like 10 stages, and I think you might even be able to unlock more after that. I know the Metroid one, I think, has like 16 or something. I think that's what was teased, maybe. I think close to 20. And it seems like there is a lot of variety in what you can do in these games, and that seems cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about it, as you guys are. I wish there was, like, you know, online multiplayer, or if not, maybe bots. Yeah. Just in case you're dealing with people who don't have friends who can come over and things like that. But if you have friends and they can come over, like, yeah, I could see it being very badass. I mean, yeah. Not to mention that it's up to 5 people.
Yep.
Know for a fact there aren't bots? I mean, stuff like Chase Me must have some kind of single player, right? Or no?
I don't know, because I know there was basically something that I kind of misheard back at E3, where I thought it was said that there would be single player and multiplayer versions of each game. And I was looking back on that. I was wrong. Said that there would be. I think it was just kind of like maybe a fuzzy translation, where it's basically that there are, like, a focus on single player for some games and a focus on multiplayer for others. And I know, like, in Zelda Battle Quest, there will be a single player component. But that's not true for every game, and vice versa. For, like, it's not true for all the multiplayer games, and it's not true for all the single player games.
Oh, no. They were hiding a lot of stuff from us. Yeah. I definitely saw a lot of menu options.
We did. I mean, the one thing that we noticed were the stamps, which they appear to be like the stuff in Wii Sports Resort. We unlocked one in Metroid Battle, which... Or Metroid Blast, which I forget exactly what that was, but I know the one in Chase Me.
Oh, we beat someone in 20 seconds.
Yeah, that was the Chase Me one, or the Mario Chase one, was that Ariel was a fucking ringer at the game and caught people very easily and won.
It was awesome.
I really, like, I'm totally floored by Nintendo Land, and I look forward to playing it with people a lot, because that's going down.
You know what? I was sitting at that interview that we had after the show, and I was thinking of saying, like, now I get why you guys made that the last bit of your E3 presentation.
Yeah, it just doesn't translate unless you play it, in all honesty.
Right. No, you're 100% right. Like seeing it, you're going, oh, I mean, okay. Well, I mean, I guess I could play it. And then once you play it, you're like, oh, wow. Like, I don't know why I haven't been wanting this all my life.
Yeah. So I guess in the interest of time, we are recording this later at midnight, the night after we went to the event, so we're all pretty damn tired.
I'm not even awake.
So New Super Mario Bros. U was the other Nintendo game that was on display there. And what they had on display was the Boost Rush mode, which seems like a kind of a fusion of that Boost mode that was at E3, where you had the person on the gamepad, you know, placing blocks, and the coin rush mode from New Super Mario Bros. 2, but then it has this added thing of that these screens auto-scrolling, and depending on the amount of coins that you collect, it scrolls faster, and you basically want to get to the end as quickly as you can. It was kind of fun. I feel like you need to kind of play with the right people, or else it's going to suck.
I did not play with the right people at the end.
But, I mean... Yeah, New Super Mario Bros. U, still very excited, just not totally in love with the Boost Rush mode.
I thought it was all right. I mean, it was nothing, like, amazing, but it's there, and it might prove to be something that turns out to be exciting. Who knows? Yeah.
Does anyone have any brief thoughts that they want to say about Nintendo TV?
Oh, come on, you know we have to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of, like, I guess the big deal from a Nintendo marketing perspective. And it seems really neat. We got like an eyes-on demo of it. And I mean, the functionality seems pretty rad. I love all the stuff that they're doing with the gamepad as a second screen. I think that's real cool. And the fact that it's kind of directly connected is also wonderful.
Yeah, it looked like something that I would like to have.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to, at a minimum, using it to kind of put Netflix and Hulu Plus in the same roof.
Yeah, I'm not buying an Xbox. I'm not going Sony's way. And I think this is what Nintendo needed for me to feel complete.
That sounds like they're doing their job then.
They are.
So yeah, we'll move on to the Ubisoft games that were there, which was Zombie U and Rayman Legends. And I think I might have been, I guess, Ariel, you played Rayman Legends with me, but I was the only person to play Zombie U, I believe, right?
Yeah, the new version. Yeah.
So this was apparently from the end of the second act, and I'm not really, as I alluded to earlier, I'm pretty shitty with the gamepad right now. I need to get used to it more, and I didn't play it that much at E3. I played more of the multiplayer stuff in which I was using the gamepad in a first-person shooter sense, as opposed to the pro controller as the first-person shooter, as opposed to the gamepad. And I really love all the interaction in that game. It's super cool with, you know, using your backpack and having the touchscreen kind of be, you know, this interactive thing that you can do to switch guns and stuff like that. The game looks like it's going to be hard as shit, though. It's super intense. Yeah. And it really, I hate using visceral as a term for anything, but like that's what it does, is that it's that kind of stuff where it's just like, I'm looking at my backpack, holy fuck, there's a goddamn zombie. Like, yeah. That happened to me several times, where it's like, even the person demoing it, which I believe there will be video of that, where there's even a moment where like the person demoing is like, oh yeah, you know, you can get the sniper rifle there, and then we both look up at the screen and we're just like, oh shit. And I have to like rapidly like press the button to push him away with my cricket bat. And I mean, I'm really excited for that game. I think it's kind of like it's got a lot of things in first person shooters that I like, which it's got this kind of, you know, this innovative mechanic. It has that kind of Left 4 Dead like feel of dread, and that like you're like, I'm fucked, but let's try and see if we can beat it anyway.
Yeah, it's more than just killing things. I mean, it feels like an adventure.
Yeah,
to tell you the truth.
And Rayman Legends, I got to play the Black Betty level, which it is unfortunate, Ariel, that you did not get to hear the music for that. Yeah, you can go watch the trailer. It was an exclusive on IGN, and we have, I know it's embedded. I don't know if we were able, if that's widely distributed now, but just go watch that. I mean, that's what we played, and it's really awesome.
I will. I have to check that out.
And I mean, just that game in general, they had another level that they were showing off where, as Murphy on the gamepad, I like kind of like knock down this like shield, and then I use that to kind of either deflect fireballs so that way the other players could get across, or even just have the players jump on that, and then I move them around and I could fuck with them and knock them off and stuff. So it does have that kind of griefing aspect to it. And that game supposedly a launch day game. I was talking to Don, or I did, it was a through the Twitter, so not a direct conversation, but I believe that's confirmed for launch in Europe. And it seemed from what we were talking to from people from Ubisoft, it looks like it's likely for launch day in North America too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I will stop talking a little bit and let Ariel talk about Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for Wii U. So what do you think about it?
Well, before I do that, really quickly, I wanted to address the whole single player thing in Rayman Legends, yeah, which we still kind of have to figure out because we have to go back and check the tape. But you should watch the site for that.
Yep.
And also another thing, when you were talking about Zombie U, you reminded me about the rumble in the gamepad. And what I noticed is that from the games that I played that had the feature on, at least to my knowledge, it wasn't heavy. Like, it wasn't like an Xbox controller or a PS3 controller. It was kind of like a light vibration. And I don't know if that's just the games themselves, but it seemed to me like that's just the way it is, because every game that I played, it felt like it was at the same level of rumble. But I don't know. We'll see in the future.
Yeah.
Don't take it as a downer. It's just something I noticed.
So how about that Black Ops 2? It's yes. Call of Duty in HD on a Nintendo system for the first time.
Yes, it is. Call of Duty, I hate to say it, but it's a good shooter. I mean, there's no denying that. People are getting tired, obviously, because they keep releasing, you know, sequels, but that's what's going to happen. And Call of Duty on the Wii U is no different. It feels great. Like, it feels good. And the thing that really sold me is being able to play on the gamepad, which you can do during multiplayer, and I'm assuming during single player.
I would hope so. I was actually just, when you were talking about it, I was like, I wonder if you can play on the gamepad in single player. That would be kind of dope.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look very different from what you see on your screen. Sure, there's going to be like people who are like, who pretend to be anal about pixels, but it's not bad at all. It looks great. And as far as controls, feels just like I'm playing on a PS3. The only issue that I really had was the pressing the stick in to run. It felt to me like the stick might be
a
little smaller than it should be.
You were discussing that on the gamepad, and I was playing with the Pro Controller, which also looks like it's been kind of tweaked since E3, but I'm not entirely sure because it's been a couple months since I've seen it. But when you were commenting on how the stick was hard to push in, I didn't have any issue with it on the Pro Controller. So,
well, it's not that it's hard to push in. It's just that to run in that game, you have to push and move.
I didn't have much issue with that on the Pro Controller.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's just me. I mean,
it could also be, you know, the gamepad being a little different.
Very true. But other than that, it's solid. I know nobody else has gotten a chance to really touch this game on the Wii U since it was just announced, but I can assure everybody out there it's Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And it's kick ass.
If you did not know.
Yeah, just in case.
So, Josh, we got to check out Skylanders Giants on Wii U. What did you think about that as a Skylanders neophyte?
I've never played Skylanders before today, and now that I have, I want it.
Yeah.
I want to hear it in the morning. I want it to tuck me in at night. I want the Giants to watch over me.
I want somebody to insert that Quad City DJ song all throughout this podcast.
Yeah. Come on, ride a train.
The giant train.
Yeah. I mean, Skylanders Giants on Wii U, you can play it on the gamepad. That's probably the coolest thing about it.
Yeah, and it looks just as great.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the 360 PS3 version. I believe for some of the mini games in it, the gamepad will be used. Like, you can tap the screen for the kind of card game that they have in it. There's also some like turret shooting parts that you'll be able to move, you know, use the gyroscope and the controller to move around in. I mean, it is the 360 and PS3 game, and by that extension, the Wii game, but in HD. But, I mean, if you want the Wii U version of Skylanders Giants, it looks like it might be the best version of the game to get. So
it looks really great.
Yeah. That might be a game I double dip on. I'm a big fan.
Oh, we know.
Yes.
Yes, everybody knows.
So, Ariel, you got to check out Darksiders 2. Is there anything notable to discuss over the Wii U version compared to the PC version that you are currently playing?
Yes. To me, it seems like it's just a direct port.
All right.
Cool. Yeah, it didn't. I have the PC version on my PC right now, and when I pull that up, it looks like a quite bit better version than the one that they showed for the Wii U. So I'm assuming that they're just not really trying to upscale that in any way.
Yeah.
But it played the same. Everything was fine. The screen functionality was good too. You know, you can use it to check out your inventory, swap items and things like that. So I'm assuming that's pretty useful since I didn't really get a long time to play with it.
Yeah. So then Assassin's Creed 3 was another game that was playable by the public for, I think, the first time.
First time.
Yeah. So,
as far as I know.
I know they only had the naval battle part, but it's Assassin's Creed, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to run around the town, so I can't really speak about that. But the boat controls was fun. I can't complain. I'm not going to be one of those guys who are like, oh, it's not accurate because it's a video game. and we only have so much time. But yeah, it felt great. It looks like, at first, when I was speaking to a guy at the Ubisoft event that was held about 2 months ago or a month ago, I got the impression that they weren't really doing much in the way of adding stuff for the Wii U in terms of the gamepad screen. But it looks like they really are going to make it pretty useful. Nothing mind-blowing, but it looks like they did a solid job and they're not just, like, you know, not paying attention to it.
Cool.
Well, all right, then.
Graphics were insane.
Yeah, just in case you wanted to know. Beautiful. You also got to check out NBA 2K13, which is 2K's only addition to the Wii U launch window lineup. Did that seem pretty cool?
It seemed cool to me because 2K games and the Wii, you know, they just didn't work well together, in my opinion, because, you know, you just want the better graphics, obviously.
Yeah.
And the controls. But with this version, again, it feels just like it would on its, you know, brother consoles on the 360 or the PS3. It felt the same way. They added some new things. Nothing really useful. I mean, you can tilt the gamepad up and then get like a heat map on your players. And as their stamina goes down, you kind of see it drain, so it looks like the liquid's draining out of them. And that's pretty cool. If you tap on them, you can see in-game stats. I don't know who's going to use that, because I won't. But it's there, just in case you need it and you want it.
I got to check out Madden NFL 13 on Wii U. It's pretty much Madden NFL 13 on 360 and PS3, except for without the Infinity Engine, which, honestly, I was racking my brain. I'm like, wasn't there something that's not in this game as I'm playing the demo? And then I realized it was like, oh yeah, the goofy new physics engine isn't there. Which, I mean, sometimes that the Infinity Engine works really well. Other times it's like people just fall down for no reason. So, I mean, it's good that the 360 and PS3 version are taking that step forward, but I don't think the Wii U version is really missing anything by not having it. It's still a very good version of Madden. It's got connected careers and all that jazz. And the stuff on the gamepad's pretty cool.
Can I just say something?
What?
I'm really happy that all of these games are finally coming to a Nintendo console.
Yeah,
like,
it's
pretty cool. We're talking about it like, yeah, we're bored because it's basically the same thing. But, you know,
we've been wanting that for years. So the gamepad for Madden on Wii U, you use it to do play calling, and that's just really nice and easy to do because it's just you got. I was playing with the game flow mode, so you know it had like the three options, and I could easily just tap the screen, select the play, or you know, hit a button and then go to the full playbook and scroll through that. And then when I'm actually like, you know, the pre-play stuff, it's as simple as touching a player on this, like they have like X's and O's, where it's like the numbers of your players, and you just, you know, click their number and drag, and depending on where you drag, you know, you can drag a wide receiver route, you can make a guy, you know, drop into coverage or blitz. It's all really smooth and really kind of awesome. I guess the one negative is that the game does look like it's kind of rough around the edges still. They're shooting for launch, they're still working on the game. So who knows if they'll make launch or if it'll, you know, I mean, I hope it'll come out and be fine and run great. But the one thing that I did kind of hope for, and talking with the people there, it might be a possibility, is that, like, for example, like when you have the opening kickoff, it displays it on both the gamepad and the TV. But then, like, when you're in a normal play, it'll show that kind of X's and O's map. And I was asking if you could, you know, play it on the gamepad, and they said they're working on it, but they haven't quite figured out if that's what they're going to do or not. So talk about trying to, Josh. I was going to say, so you have no experience with the series, right?
None whatsoever.
But it is a dope as shit platform. I have held out on the second one because I'm waiting for the Wii U version, but I played and enjoyed the first one a whole lot.
It's beautiful. It handles well. It's fun. The game mechanics, I don't know if there's anything really mind-blowingly new, but it flows really well. It's beautiful to look at. I wrote my impression of it in about 10 minutes, and then I stopped, and I kept saying, once a paragraph, I devoted an entire 3 sentences in a row to saying how beautiful it was. I got a thesaurus, and I changed it up, and I'm like, I can't just say it's beautiful. It's a good game, too. But I can't stress it enough. It looks so good.
It looks so damn good.
It does. And, like, the gameplay is fine. Like, it's standard gameplay. Like, again, nothing mind-blowing. Some of it's kind of cool. There's some cool game mechanics.
Yeah, man, it's a puzzle platformer. Physics-based puzzle platformer.
But it looks so good.
Yeah, you can play it on just the gamepad, which is awesome.
Still looks good. Just like, if I may flow into it, Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
I'm very surprised at how much fun I had with that game. I mean, you played a lot more of it than I did, but I guess it is Tekken Tag Tournament 2, the game that came out literally this week on 360 and PS3. But the one thing that this game adds is one Nintendo character costumes. So like I believe it's I don't know who it is, but like guys will be in Bowser outfits, guys will be in Mario and Luigi outfits. And I guess there might be, for every character in the game, there might be an analog in the Nintendo universe, which would be really cool. Like, I think a character can also dress up as a Link.
Okay, but who's Panda going to dress up as?
Bowser, maybe? I don't know.
No, Panda is Panda.
Like, I don't know if there is a costume for every character, because there's like 50 fucking characters in this game. The other thing that Josh and I did play against each other was they had, it's mushroom mode where, you know, it's a standard one-on-one game and you have these mushrooms and occasionally an invincibility star that just kind of bounce around the map and, you know, a poison mushroom will do damage. I believe a regular mushroom will heal you a little bit, it looked. And there was also the giant mushrooms that will make you huge.
Which doesn't help against a panda.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I mean it's just really fun to watch and it's really fun to play because it is the kind of stuff where like, you know, the character gets giant, but because you're so big, you're a bigger target. So it's not necessarily like, oh, you're giant, you're going to win. I mean, the odds are in your favor, but it's tough.
I mean, when I was writing my impression of it, I was torn because it looks beautiful. Again, it's another game that looks beautiful. It handles well. But it's Tekken. Like, it doesn't revolutionize anything. It's like when Street Fighter comes out, and they're like, oh man, Super Street Fighter 4, and you're like, but it's just Street Fighter. Like, like, I understand, I love Street Fighter. I never want to be with any other woman aside from Street Fighter 2, but, you know, it's still just, it's Street Fighter. And it's like, you know, I'm comparing Street Fighter to Tekken, but, which isn't actually that far of a jump, but in my opinion, people can hate on me, I don't care. Tekken, it's good. It's just a Tekken game, but it doesn't revolutionize anything. It's pretty fun, and I like the Nintendo, when Nintendo throws in their own little pieces of Nintendo.
I mean, that looks like it's a precursor to Brawl, guys. Whoa.
Well, no, I mean, I said that it could be, I think that it can be the best fighter on the Wii right now. I mean, it looks like it might be the only one, but yeah. Still, like, it's solid, you know? It'll last a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Tekken Tag Tournament 2 Wii U edition.
Woo! Yeah, I got some footage of you guys. So Josh versus Neil coming up soon.
I didn't win. I had fun though.
You had fun in the end.
No, you beat me, didn't you? Am I that tired?
I don't remember. Yeah, it's pretty. I don't know. I like how we both are like, no, it was obviously the other guy.
We got two more games that we're gonna talk about. I guess let's go Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. So Jared and Josh, you guys both checked that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Jared, you haven't talked much. Tell us about the Sonic racing game.
Sure. So, if you played the original on, you know, Wii or 60 or PS3, it is, quite similar. Trolls were, very similar. Big problem that I noticed, at least, was the demo they had on display. The frame rate was quite miserable. I'd say maybe it was 20 frames per second, which...
Horrible.
But who knows? It could have been less than that.
I didn't even play the damn game. I just looked at it and I'd be like, is that broken?
Yeah, I didn't touch it because of that reason.
It was playable, but that's a problem. An interesting thing with the Wii U gamepad. So if you lift it up, it will show you, give you a rear view mirror. So
that is awesome.
Oh my god.
It was cool, but the footage that the quality of the rear view mirror footage was really bad. I don't know. No. Would you agree, Josh?
Yeah, I would.
So I don't know. It again, because the frame rate was bad, you know, they're probably still working on that stuff.
Yeah, and that's set for launch, so we'll find out about it soon.
It has the potential to be an amazing game.
Yeah, I mean the first one was pretty solid. Like I'm whether I get it on Wii U or not, I'm looking forward to the next game because it was a fun Mario Kart clone.
I was able to confirm there about this. I guess they announced a couple weeks ago a special edition or like a premium edition that costs a little bit more that comes with a special Outrun stage. And that is also coming to Wii U. So Outrun fans, it's in there.
Sweet. So the last game we have to talk about is Ninja Gaiden 3, which is the secret other Nintendo published game that will likely be there on launch day. I got to play this at E3. I assume it's probably more of the same. Not to I guess be negative. But Josh, you got to play it today. What are your thoughts?
Well, Neil, let me tell you about my experience waiting to play Ninja Gaiden 3. There was one guy who I'm not sure was a journalist. The only time I saw him was here, and he was unusually beastly at Ninja Gaiden. Like, he was there for 20 minutes playing level after level after level, and the guys who were running the booth are just kind of like looking at each other like, okay. Cut him killing off, me, bro. He's still playing. I mean, we can't just cut him off. All right, let him play. And then this other guy went before me, and he was like, oh, I guess I'll play the other stages. And he goes through the tutorials, and then he goes, well, I got all I needed to do after 5 minutes. So I've been sitting there for about half an hour. They hand me the controller, and I just go, what am I doing? And they try to explain things to me as I'm being shot at with a bazooka. So my experience was, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, I don't want to die like this. I don't want to die. But it's fun. It's Ninja Gaiden. And the thing I loved about it was that when I was a child, back in the days of yore, and I picked up Ninja Gaiden, I was scared of every minute of every time I played Ninja Gaiden. And Ninja Gaiden 3, for me, not knowing what I'm doing, pretty much captured that same feeling. I don't know. It's bloody, but it's beautiful. It's a good looking. It's if it were a woman, it would be looking good in a red dress. If I may make that terrible analogy, but it looks really good. I would not pay for it, but I would play it any day, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
I don't know. It's just Ninja Gaiden is personally not my cup of tea. I enjoyed it, but it's just not my thing.
Well, all right.
Plus, I had no idea what I was doing.
So, that's about all the games that were there. There's a few others, like Mass Effect 3, that we didn't really check out. Carmine has good impressions of that. None of us have really played the Mass Effect series, so we have nothing more to add on that. Any kind of final thoughts on the event and how you guys are feeling on Wii U?
If I were a rich man, I would buy one for all of my friends.
That's it.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been pretty, you know, middle of the road since the Wii U was announced. Like, you know, no offense to Nintendo or anyone who's been psyched about it, but I've always just looked at it and went, well, all right. I mean, that's pretty cool. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, you can be whoever you want to be when you grow up. I'm going to be over here. And then today I saw it and I hung out with it for a bit. And I was like, man, Wii U, you're pretty cool. Like, you're a cool guy. And I'm using analogies and metaphors at the wazoo tonight. I'm okay with it. But I don't know. I'm happy. I'm happy with it. And I think it's going to be I think it's a step in the right direction for Nintendo. If I had the money, I would honestly buy it on launch day.
I agree. I'm going to do everything I can to buy it on launch day. And I, like you, I wasn't fully sold on it. But after the last E3, you know, that pushed me a little further towards wanting to buy it. And then this just brought it home for me. I mean, I know there's a lot of people on Twitter who didn't partake in the event. And, you know, they're not feeling the same way. And that's all right, because you have to really get in there and play it to understand. And, you know, I'll be there day one. So don't worry.
You know, I feel Nintendo showed that this system is going to have a really nice launch lineup. You know, the price is a little higher than I was hoping, because I guess I'm ignoring the $300 one and would obviously just go for the $350 one since I need Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $100 more than the original Wii bundle, so I'm really interested to see how things play out, but, you know, I'm going to be there day one.
Yeah, well, I'll be taking our review unit when it comes on, but even regardless, I would be scrounging up my pennies to buy this shit on day one. And really, if you're going to get it, get that deluxe version, because you're going to want Nintendo Land, and...
There's a classic version? What's that?
Well, you're going to want the 350 version, because, Nintendo Land is totally worth getting, and that plus more hardware space and stands and shit, good stuff.
Nintendo Land,
yeah, game of the year.
Could be.
All right.
I won't say that, Neil. That might have been a little too far, but it's a great game. It's really, really good.
I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I hope you enjoy our coverage on NintendoWorldReport.com. All right, and we're done.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Peace.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@NintendoWorldReport.com, and please rate and review us on iTunes. See you next week.